This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Well, welcome to the Underground, everybody. I see everybody survived Thanksgiving. Hopefully you're finished digesting by now. My wife gets kind of emotional whenever I cook. And what I mean is, whenever she eats my mashed potatoes, she gets a lump in her throat. cooking joke. Bing. All right, so last week we were talking about our worth as persons, and we're heading into some pretty cool stuff. And I kind of look at this as training, and part of training is repetition. Part of training is really getting it down into our subconscious to where it's reaction, where it just comes out of us. And how many things do you do that you do really well that came out of repetition? I mean, it's always going to come out of repetition. We were talking last week a little bit about how Jesus told his disciples that on that day, meaning when he rose from the dead, like on that day, you will know that I am in my Father and he is in me and I am in you. Right? Is that the right order? He's talking heavy union language, like super heavy duty. Like you don't get any closer than that kind of language when it comes to union, oneness. And it was just powerful stuff. And he actually said to his disciples that when you see me, you see the Father. Jesus is actually saying that the Father and him, they're one. He's saying, when you see me, you're seeing the Father. This is what Jesus told him. And he was saying that in the same way that he is one with the Father, we are one with him. That we, as his people, are one with Jesus. This is an intense thing. And I had the word worth on the board, talking about our worth as persons. 1 Corinthians 15:45 tells us that Jesus became a life-giving spirit. When he rose from the dead, he became a life-giving spirit. What does that mean? It means that he now has the ability to duplicate himself. That he now has the ability to dispense his spirit from himself into you. This is amazing that he has that ability to do that. He is a life-giving spirit. His life he can give to me. Like, he can give his life to me, and he can give his life to you. 1 Corinthians 6:17 tells us that he who is joined with the Lord is one with him in spirit. And it is this union language we talk about when we talk about recovering by knowing our identity in Christ. Is that oneness language. We talk about our worth as persons, like, I need love. To have worth as a person, I need love. Well, how much more loved can you be than being one with Christ? Is Jesus loved by God? That's how loved you are. You're one with him. We need acceptance. I talk about this all the time. I need to know I'm accepted to be okay, to have worth. Did God accept Jesus? In the same way he accepts you. How about forgiveness? I need forgiveness. I've done a lot of horrible things in my life. Have a lot of regrets. Carry a lot of stuff that bothers me. I need to know I'm forgiven. Am I forgiven? Well, Jesus gives me his right relationship with God. Is now my right relationship with God. He's given me his righteousness. What does that mean? It means, if we are righteous, that means everything's right between me and you. It's right. It's all right. There's nothing between us. He's given me that rightness with God. The way Jesus is right with God, I am right with God in the same way. Just amazing. And how about significance? I need that for worth. We went over this stuff at length about our worth and the trap we get into of chasing it and wanting it so bad, and the pain of not feeling like I have what I need to be okay. It's painful to be on that chase, and we chase it in many ways. How much more significant can I possibly be by being Jesus on this earth, being one with Him? And I mean being one with Him, being Him. You want to know Jesus? He's sitting in this room. We are His body. We represent Him on this planet. Jesus, how would He show up on this earth as you? This is what He wants us to be. Me as Him, and Him as me on this earth doing His work. Right? If Jesus woke up in the middle of Fairbanks, in the middle of this situation that Fairbanks is in with the problems that it has, what would He be busy doing? That's what I'm supposed to be figuring out and busy myself doing that. And it makes me very significant. Why am I significant? Because I'm one with Jesus. We're one. I am representing Him. When people look at me, they're looking at Jesus. This is intense stuff. And it'll make it to where religious people will pick up rocks to throw at you. It's that intense. When you believe the gospel, what He says is true, this is what we're talking about. So how does this change my behavior? Well, how does a friend of God live? How does a servant of God live? You know, how does that cause me to behave as a saint? God calls you saint. I've heard people say, well, I'm no saint. Oh, yes, you are. How about as a son? As we grow in our faith in the gospel and we really let it go to the bottom of our hearts, I'm not talking about just letting these words fly over you and feel good. I'm talking about that word, that you are His son. Royalty runs through your veins. You are not of this world. You have the very life of God in you right now. Letting that go to the very bottom of your heart. How does that manifest? When it comes out like love, joy, peace. This is how it comes out in fruits. You are a priest in this town. You are His priest and you are a warrior priest at the same time. Do you know what that looks like in your mind? Like, it's important to know, to take the time. You are His beloved. See, this is part of having my worth. My identity in Christ carries all these things. I bring all these things to the table. And this is really important. I want to read a little, tiny little part of this here. It says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. This is what it's talking about. This message, the message of what He has done for you that you couldn't possibly do yourself by making yourself a son or a daughter. And giving you worth beyond anything we can get our minds around. You know, as soon as you take that message that I'm talking about of union with Him, of that oneness that God offers us, being part of His family, you become a real, genuine threat. And you will come under definite attack. And as our enemies, we have the world system that's in place, that is set up to rely on anything but your identity in Christ. From the moment we're born all the way up to now, everything around us trains and conditions us to believe and trust in anything but our identity in Christ. It's why someone that's truly walking in the Spirit looks really weird. Your other enemy is Satan and his minions. And as Christians, we do believe in Satan and his demonic forces, as Jesus clearly recognized them and dealt with them. We too deal with them. When you become a member of God's family, you now have a real enemy. Before, our enemy was God, who happened to be for you. Our enemy was God, one who would be preparing the way for the day you came to him. But now that you've joined God's family, now you have a real enemy whose hatred of you fills every part of his being. He's a real enemy. What's another enemy? Our flesh, our selfish nature. And what I mean by that is that every cell of my body has been programmed for me to be selfish. All the old ways I used to operate, all of the old ways that I was raised in, the way I naturally think about, for me, everything's about me, how I can make myself look and feel good every day, my little schemes of how I'm going to save myself, that selfishness, that is a real enemy. And it's one of our worst enemies, if not our worst enemy. Because it's through that enemy that our other enemies get into our lives and homes. I shower with that particular enemy, me. All the programming, all my belief systems, my selfishness. In a panic, in a pinch, I will go selfish and my life will get very small and I will begin grasping. And that looks very ugly. I eat breakfast with that enemy. I have my devotions in the morning with that enemy. And that enemy squawks and squeals when I don't give it its way. When I quit doing drugs, when I show up and do my quiet time, when I love someone else, when I sacrifice, when I walk as a son, that other enemy squeals to high heaven because I'm not feeding it its devil's food. And I know my enemy within me quite well, and it's still a chess game every day. But it is my righteousness that Jesus gave me, his righteousness, my rightness with God. The goodness of God is the bedrock of my recovery. It's the bedrock of every situation I face. Let's begin this problem, no matter what it looks like, with God is good. His goodness and his love is the foundation that I'm going to start with. God is good, no matter what it is. I'll show you this little diagram I love so much. Some of you have seen it a lot. Some of you have not, maybe. That this represents our body right after Thanksgiving. Nice and healthy. But this is our body, our physical body. Obviously, we're more than a physical body. We're the persons that live in it. And I'm going to diagram that with this triangle. Psychologists call this your personality. And in our personality, we have negatives. I know I do. I have addictions, attitudes, belief systems, things that happened to me when I was young. I've got negatives, shortcomings, wrongs, defects of character, to use recovery language. But I also have positives. You know, I have some really good things about me. They're in there somewhere, but I have them. If you have a lot of negatives, you have a negative personality. If you have a lot of positives, you have a positive personality. But we have these. And so then we come to this place where we reach out for of what God has done for us, and we have a spiritual awakening where we allow God to give us his spirit, his presence. We receive that incredible gift that he offers us, that he died to give us. We receive his righteousness, and we are what they call born again. Some people don't like that. I love that. When someone said, how would you like to be born again? I'm like, man, I needed to be born again. Man, I love it. I get a new identity, I'll take a new identity. I remember the first time I heard about identity theft, I was like, who would want to ever be me? Right? There's no way. They can have it. Take it. No, I insist. We are born again. He puts his spirit in us. His presence is made known. And I don't know about you, but when this happened to me, it rocked me. I didn't know where this peace came from. I didn't know what happened. It was like it fused with my conscience, and all of a sudden things bothered me that never bothered me before. I thought about things around people, and I was sensitive to things. I cried. I'm like, what's going on? What just happened to me? You know, it was a really, really clear conflict between this new presence within me and the old way I used to think. And where Paul says in Romans 7, like, I want to do what is right, but I do what is wrong. And there was this double thing. And he says, it's not me doing the wrong, but it's sin living in me. And you can see this separation going on in Paul, he talked about. So we're given this new identity. You know, as a believer, is there part of you that loves God, that wants to do what is right, that has this peace within you and this presence of God? You know, even if it's small, in seed form, is it there? And people talk about all the time, like, but I'm an addict, you know, I'm an alcoholic, or, you know, I'm addicted to this. And I'm like, is all of you addicted? Like, is there a part of you that loves God, that wants to serve, that wants to do what is right, that has this miniature, tiny little fruits of the Spirit? Is it in there? And you get them to find this place. And I talk to them about, let's stand in this place, no matter how small it is, and begin taking like the role of the observer and looking at the addiction from this place. This is my real identity, and I have this thing to deal with. This old belief system, this old defective character. I'm going to stand and observe it through my union with Christ. I'm looking right at it, and it's going to go because it's no longer who I am, something I'm dealing with. Do you guys get what I mean? This is intense work, you know. This is the kind of stuff that happens when you have to take a lot of time to think and be still and let God begin to show you how to stand in this place of identity, no matter how small. As soon as you stand on your identity in Christ, no matter how small, now I got some wiggle room. Now I'm standing in faith. No matter how out of control your life is, beginning through the exercise of faith in your identity, knowing who you are is the first step of getting out. So it's at this point here we actually enter recovery. Isn't that crazy? Like, of all the ground we just covered, all that we just talked about, that is in this place, from this position, God has landed, established a beachfront, boom, he's here, he's driven the flag in the ground, declared this territory is now mine. And I will spread throughout the land my rule, my reign, my love, my ways, my spirit, my presence. From right here, it begins. This is how recovery begins. It begins right there. If you don't understand this, it's going to be a little difficult. And the coolest thing about this is God trains us in this way. He trains us into, what are you going to take on first? You know? I had a lot of religious people that told me what I needed to change first. And guess what? That's not what it was. It was something else. It's a great argument when you go, nuh-uh. I mean, it's like full of wisdom, you know? This is what you need to change. And I'm like, nuh-uh. Right? It doesn't work with a wife very well. He'll tell you what you're after. This is what we're going to go after. You know, make it very clear to you. I want this. We're going to take this. This is ours. And when you take it, there's something so exciting that happens, you know, as he begins to grow and grow and grow in his presence within us. You will find yourself walking into a room one day and all the people that you used to know and used to hang with will go, whoa, what happened to you? Look at you, you know. There are so many people in this room that to me are like the celebrities of recovery. In my mind, you're just the giants for me, just these amazing people. And I know some of the obstacles you've overcome, and I've watched it happen. And you are my heroes, and you walk with this presence, and I see it. It's just amazing to see. So here we enter recovery. Do you have a vision of what it looks like? Michael, I want to thank you for this Bible. I was so moved. I was telling my wife about this. Here is this guy against all these odds and all this stuff, carrying all this weight in his own recovery. Now, I want you to know this, Michael, about you, that not only are you under all these things and the odds are way stacked against you, not only are you fighting a beautiful fight in your own recovery and you're doing so awesome, but you are fighting for other people at the same time. And this guy sat there and gave me this Bible. He's giving to me this Bible saying, Stan, you need this. And I just want to thank you, Michael, for what you do and who you are. And your recovery is beautiful to me. But this in Joshua, I just want to read this whole thing. I don't normally read this, but this is a little like a footnote in this recovery Bible. But hear this in your own life, in your own situations about Joshua and about this whole theme of recovery in this place of beginning. It says, God led the nation of Israel out of bondage in Egypt through the wilderness and to the edge of the promised land. Okay, what's the promised land that God is calling you to, that if you walk into that place, it's almost too good to be true, and you're doing what God designed you to do, being who he designed you to be? What is that? It says, but as the Israelites stood on the border looking into the fruitful and prosperous land of Canaan, they lacked the faith and courage to go in because of the scouts' reports of the powerful giants living there. Joshua was one of the few who had the faith to enter, but because of the others, he was held back. 40 years later, the chance came again. Thank God for second chances, right? Just before he entered the land, the Lord told him, "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We may have concluded that a good and healthy life is reserved for people who are better or stronger than we are. But there's a promised land for each one of us. We need to be courageous. We need to believe that there can be good things in life for us and those we love. We too can be encouraged that regardless of our own past failures and those of our family, we can start again. And we can find our way out of the chaos of the wilderness into the promised land of productive and healthy living. That is amazing. That is awesome. So God began his call of these people into the promised land with an unprecedented call to faith and strength and courage that they are going to be able to take these things, these areas, these territories of land. And our fight happens to begin internally, where we begin to take on these defects of character and these shortcomings and these wrongs. Because although this land was theirs by the promise of God, that land happened to be filled with powerful inhabitants. It happened to be filled with like fortified cities and these giants that knew war, knew how to fight. These people were well armed. But that was their territory by God's promise. And this is what they are up against. See, God gave them the experiences that they need as his children to enter the land. I can bet you that whatever it is that God's calling you to do and to be, that he has given you experiences that you need to do it. Enough rearview mirror experiences to look back and say, I see how you've worked in the past, and I can trust you in the future. I can see it. And we've seen God work so many times. I have to look in my rearview mirror and go, I know that I'm going to look back and I'm going to see your hands all over this. But right now I'm being challenged about everything I believe, and I'm going to move forward and ahead because I know I've been prepared for what you're calling me into. I know that I've been prepared. He's given us experiences. And God's challenge to them, interestingly, is he challenged them to enter this place by faith in what he said alone. By faith that God had promised it, he said it. And by faith in that, we're going to go take it. I mean, that's a scary thing right there. If we don't understand that this is how we overtake these negatives, these old addictions that I carry since I was young, and these old ways of thinking and belief systems, that I can bring them down. If I don't understand that it is by faith in what God says, I'm going to bring them down, me and God, that I'm going to react out of all my historic wounds and vows every time I'm under pressure. Every time it looks like everything's caving in, I'm going to revert back to the old grooves and ways that I've always operated. If I don't understand that this call is a call to faith. It's a call to trust Him and believe in what He says. You know, anytime we go into fear and mistrust, we go selfish. Right? If someone came over and whispered to me, oh, Glenn is up to something, and showed me some fake evidence, and I started believing it, I would start reacting out of fear, mistrust, and all my reactions would begin to be destructive and selfish and small, real small, you know, instead of acting out of faith and trust. We talked a little bit about the acorn. You know, I don't know why I like the acorn thing. You know, don't get a lot of good positive feedback about the acorn thing, but I'm sticking with it. You know, I'm just going to stick with it. The acorn's called to what? To be what? An oak tree? A mighty oak tree. But if that oak, if that little acorn is just completely secure and comfortable in acorn life, and it just loves acorn life, when that shell begins to fall away, it's going to think, God is ruining my entire life. Everything's falling apart. All that I put my trust in, when God is actually opening that whole thing up, it's got to go. You know? And the question that was put to me this week that just blew me away is, what is working in your life that is actually in the way? That's a good question. What is working in my life that's in the way? God will challenge our values, the way we spend our time, what we think about, the burden we carry in our hearts. And this is another thing. With the children of Israel and Joshua, God used the people that were already established in where they were going to live. People already, like seasoned veterans that were already living where they wanted to live. He called them out to help those get their promised land. Said, when we go get their promised land and establish them, then you can come back and enjoy yours. And they said, bring it on. Let's do it. They agreed to do it. And this is how it works with recovery. I'll show you a little example. I don't really have too many things here, but let's just say I want to use this box, all right? I'll use this box here. I'll say this is some drugs. And I'll put my shoe on the table too. Now, here's some drugs. Maybe here's some pornography. What else we got? Unhealthy relationship we'll put over here. We'll have a little pile. Okay, in my history, these things I can't seem to resist. So I need to call on my fellow man. I have this new presence that lives in me. And I need someone else to walk this, that has maybe a little bigger triangle, right? Okay, so Dave, you want to come up here? This is my sponsor. Everybody give my sponsor a hand. Yay! Sponsor Dave. This guy has walked with me through some very embarrassing things, but awesome things. Okay, so I call on Dave, and I bring him into this discussion, and I talk to him about nitty-gritty stuff. I tell him what's going on with these things, the history, the scenarios that have caused me a lot of problems with this, my tendencies, my ways, and I bring him in on it. And now, not only do I have this to deal with, but I got this guy here standing with me. And now look. Hey, it's a little farther. I mean, it's still there. But see, I need more than Dave because Dave goes on vacation sometimes. You know, Dave has a life of his own. This is real. Okay? So I get my buddy here. You want to come up here for a second? So I get my buddy here. How about you? Can you come up here? Okay? I get you. How about you, Kennedy? You're up here, right? So now I've got a team, right? Okay, now if I want to relapse, you know, guys, you know, I've got some stuff going on here, okay? And this isn't just physical. This is in here. I am connected, and I'm communicating. I'm not communicating once a month. I'm communicating sometimes several times a day. Depends on what's going on. I'm communicating with them this situation. I'm making it. It's on the table. It's not hidden. It's not a secret. And my recovery will begin to fail when I keep secrets from them and start developing something over here. And I don't tell them. But what do? I'm serious about my recovery. I'm serious about overcoming this. I bring it right back to the table and I put it on here. Now this is going on, guys. And it's real to them. right? And so you know what ends up happening too? As I get to know the church body and I love you guys and I feel your love for me, now maybe I have this, right? Now how far is it? And then I got this. I got some real friends over here. Thank you guys for being with me in my battle here. And guess what? I got this. I got this. You see what I'm saying? How big is God's church in the world? Millions and millions, right? I got millions and millions of people in the body of Christ that are going through suffering, that are praying, that are pressing in, that aren't part of this world, that won't settle for the things of this world, that wants more than what this world offers, that wants to be the people of God, the sons of God, the friends of God, the servants of God, to be led by God, that want more out of our lives than selfishness. And I have millions and millions of people between me and that, and it gets really, really small. How cool is that, guys? Thank you, guys. Give them a hand. Now I'll get my shoe off your table. So even though nothing had changed in the people's lives with Joshua, the Jordan was still a flood stage. The land was inhabited still with all their fierce enemies. Just like a lot of our situations right now are no different when we leave than when we came. Nothing had changed. And in an incredible act of faith, Joshua began to prepare the people to cross the Jordan. He began to say, we're going to go. Everybody get ready. Everybody prepare. And what happens when we get ready to move? We dump off some stuff. We get really light, right? We sift through some stuff. We do an inventory. We begin working. Okay? Glenn, do you want to come up here really quick? I'll say this prayer, and you can just kind of join me in it. And then we'll close out. Don, you can come up here and play if you want. I'll show you guys what I mean about preparing, and then they can play a closing song. I hope this means a lot to you guys. So me and Glenna are being really deeply moved. We got this new building coming. Journey has taken huge risks on me and Glenna. And if you know us really well, we are a very big risk. It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing. But we're looking at this new building, and we want morning, noon, and night recovery. We want a place where people can stop in the morning, like from 6 to 9, grab a bagel. We're there. I'm there to pray with them. You know, my mom's going to be there. We're going to have, like, set up a little continental breakfast, and we're here to pray with people. I won't be there every day, but 7 days a week we want this morning, a recovery place, someone to stop in. I know people that have recovered, they said at the beginning of their recovery, they were in like 3 meetings a day until they got on their feet. And then it was 1 meeting a day, you know, and they keep a certain amount of things going. But we want to be there. At noon, we want to have a lunch stop off where here we are. Today's step is step 3 or step 4. And we're there to encourage them, pray with them. And we're there. And every single evening we have either celebrate recovery, you know, we have underground, we want to do underground, we want to do 12 steps, change groups, we want to have people there to pray. We want morning, noon, and night, 7 days a week, you know, different people from here that are set in place that want to do it, that are trained to do it, that know how to do it. We want to be here in this town and be a presence that help people along that are struggling in whatever it is. This is our vision we want. And so to prepare for to step into what we're doing, now see, I say all that to you. The most important thing is, what is God asking you to step into? How is he asking you to love this community? How is he asking you to be Jesus in this town as you? So often me and Glenn are like, where are you, God? And how come you're not talking? And it's kind of funny because it's like, well, here we are. We are him. He couldn't be closer. He's moving through us. We'll give him the quiet time. But we sit down in our house. We put on some music. And my wife's wonderful to pray like this with. And she'll sit and pray. Maybe we'll get out the anointing oil. And she'll put it on my bald head. And I'll anoint her. And we get real quiet. And we pray this. You just repeat after me. Dear Father, we are readying ourselves.
We are readying ourselves.
We are prepared.
We are prepared.
So on this day, I give you my plans.
I give you my plans.
I give you my schemes.
I give you my schemes.
All the ways I try to save myself.
All the ways I try to save myself.
All the ways I try to make myself look and feel good.
All the ways I try to make myself look and feel good.
I give you all my relationships.
I give you all my relationships.
I give you all others' opinions.
I give you all others' opinions.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
And my will.
And my will.
I give you my status in this world.
I give you my status in this world.
Now fill me up.
Now fill me up.
From the inside out.
From the inside out.
Ignite me with your spirit.
Ignite me with your spirit.
Give me the life you died to give me.
Give me the life you died to give me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Make me new, make me you. And so in this place of being prepared, losing our baggage, giving, sometimes we have to do that several times a day. Because it's that quick, I take it back. We stand on the edge of our promised land, waiting to take it. And as you stand on that edge, I just want to say this one verse, Joshua 1:9 says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let him lead you. He will be with you. He will see things you never imagined seeing and be part of things you never imagined being part of. We are his." That's a step 3 in our recovery. So next week, Derek's going to bring an incredible message he does on heaven. It's just so powerful. He is just amazing. For you guys that don't go to Journey, he is amazing. And then I think I'm going to continue this series from right here on forward, our march ahead. And we're going to do a Christmas party. It's going to be awesome. And we're just going to keep going through this winter. We want to see people heal from the deepest wounds and hurts and lies and march ahead in our recovery. Thank you guys for coming out. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your beautiful spirit that's here in this place. May we believe the gospel that you have given us your presence. We are one with you. And as he is, so we will be also. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was a wonderful, encouraging message. I love the song, "Consider the Lilies," that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and that is always right here with us. Let's close with this song tonight. So don't forget who you are this week. Your royalty, your sons and daughters of Almighty God. So be strong and courageous, and we'll see you next Sunday.